Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to a special edition show here. We are continuing from yesterday's discussion, all rookies. A little bit of a continuation on there. We have one more rookie in this business for you to hear from today, so I would like to welcome at this time, third generation in this business. He is a rookie, though. Kerry Morton, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jason. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, my pleasure to have you here. For the benefit of the fans listening today that may not be overly familiar with you just yet, can you tell us a little bit about what led you to decide to get into the wrestling business and where exactly you went to get trained in professional wrestling?
Yeah, of course. Well, my grandfather, Paul Morton, he started wrestling in the early 40s. He was a referee, and then he's a wrestler. He followed all the territories at the time, and then my father, Ricky Morton, went to the business. He's one half the Rock and Roll Express that is known today. But he went into the business by following my grandfather and following his footsteps and going around with the territories. And so as I started growing up, I started watching more wrestling tapes, and I was like, hey, I want to be the third generation. I want to carry on this tradition. So I've been talking to my dad. I've been training a lot lately here at the school of Morton. It's a wrestling school in Truckee, Tennessee. It's a heck of a wrestling school, and if you're looking into getting trained, it's the place to go. But I've been training there lately, and I've been training on the road and learning things and getting just going up step by step by knowledge I'm gaining from the wrestlers, from legends, from people that you wouldn't expect all the time to see on the indie circuit. I'm getting it, just knowledge from knowledge, and a lot of guys have helped me now and then, and I'm just continuing my steps.
Like we said, you're third generation. Based on what you've observed so far from people in locker rooms and even at the school, do you think it's easier getting into the business and having the respect as a third generation or a second generation wrestler, or do you think it's a little bit easier when you start out if you don't have any ties to the business being a brand new rookie?
Well, you know, I feel like it's going to be hard starting out. But, you know, if you have the right connections, my father helped me a lot with getting people. But I don't want to be the guy that just does everything and follow through my dad. I mean, I don't want to live off his legacy. I want to make a legacy of my own. And I know a lot of people out there, they want to do that. They want to be their own self and be their own character and not live off someone else. And I respect that very much. But, you know, here at our wrestling school, we have a lot of connections with a lot of independent circuit scenes and a couple big-name brands like Big Time Wrestling and Ring of Honor, just a little simple things. But we have a couple connections of them. We have people from our wrestling school to go there and to maybe get experience by watching it or being a backstage or being referee-wise. It's kind of hard getting started out, but it's definitely if you work hard enough, you'll get there.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you also referee quite a bit of matches, too, especially when you were starting out. Do you think that having a grandfather that was a referee full-time and your father being able to observe what he did made it even easier to break in rather than if you had come in strictly as a wrestler, or if you came in as a referee, and there wasn't necessarily that much familiarity with it from your trainer?
Yes, a referee has helped me so much by understanding a wrestling match, by understanding the crowd reactions to reading a crowd, is what my dad would say. Being a wrestler, it's hard because you got to know all the concepts. If you want to be a good wrestler and you don't want to be one of these backyard people, you want to learn all the good things about wrestling. You want to learn how to tell a story, what the crowd learns, how to work your microphone skills, how to be yourself but also be your character at all times once you're in the ring environment. That's what refereeing has taught me a lot, is understanding how this match works. It's not how your high fly spots are or how your spots are going left and right. It's more about learning the actual concept of a match, of taking the heat and making your shine and making your comeback, and then going over in a match or not going over in a match and telling a story for your fans. And that's what refereeing taught me a lot, and I'm really glad that I've followed in this footsteps, and that's maybe something I'd like to pursue in my future, is being a referee.
I've said it many, many, many times on this show, a good referee can actually save a bad match.
Yes,
A bad referee can actually ruin a very, very good match. A lot of promoters, especially on the independent scene, do not really understand that concept. They don't put a lot of care into getting quality trained referees on their shows. Being a rookie referee, it's a little bit hard since you're learning on the job a lot of times. But have you found yourself as a referee being in the position where you had to help the wrestlers be able to make the match because they weren't really skilled enough yet to adapt to every situation just yet?
Oh, yeah, of course I have. I mean, I've been on some shows where it's some of the top wrestlers in the world, and, you know, something happens in a match, and they're telling me something. Go tell so-and-so I'm going to do a high spot and this and that. All right, sure thing. Then I've been on shows where I've seen boys that's worked and, you know, been in the business for a while, and then these promoters think they're good enough to put them in the ring with someone and they don't know what the hell they're doing. Excuse my mouth. Excuse my language, but it's how it is. And after that, it's kind of like, all right, I'm going to have to call this and this spot for them. And I pretty much called the whole match a couple of times for a couple of guys before. And I enjoyed it, but definitely need to be experienced enough to step in the ring and learn the concept of that. And I've done it for some of the biggest names in the world, and not just because they suck, because they don't. I mean, they got lost during a match. And it's like, hey, call something real quick. And it's like a headlock takeover, call something from there. And a lot of crowd never notices, and that's also a great thing. It's which I can tell is that the crowd doesn't notice. But it was something that I learned from, and I can do a whole match in my mind. I already have a match planned out, so it's pretty funny.
You're definitely a step or two ahead of most even experienced referees. I know a lot of guys that cannot do that.
Yes. That's one thing my dad's helped me a lot with, too, is just learning the match. And, I mean, a lot of other people helped me up, like Jake Manning. I don't know if you heard of Jake Manning before, but he's helped me understanding the concept of the match. And Bobby Eaton of the Midnight Express, Robert Gibson, my dad's tag team partner, Ricky Steamboat, all these guys always put knowledge into me about doing this and that. It's not how you do it, it's what you do.
Very true. Now, as a rookie, especially someone that's refereed for quite a bit of that time, have you ever had the situation where you've been in there and there's been an injury you had to compensate for, as someone that got hurt, that either they were hurt but had to adjust everything to accommodate the injury, or even someone that got hurt and that required the match to end right there?
Yes, I have. I've been in the match, which it was the Godzilla Jack Dane and Iron Man Rod Conway in the NWA World Heavyweight Championship match. It was at NWA Smoky Mountain. And Jack Dane called for a spot, and he shot Rob Conway off, and Rob Conway's knee blew out immediately right then. So so they had about 3 minutes in the match, and Rob was saying, Kerry, I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Tell Jack that right now. I'm hurt. So I went over to Jack real quick as Rob went immediately to the ground after his knee collapsed. I told Jax that his knees collapsed. Do something real quick. Pin him. Match is over. Don't take him off his feet. And Jax, as a professional wrestler, professional athlete, caught on to that very quick, and he learned what to, he knew what to do immediately following the situation. So he took care of it. And right then, I called for the X, which is he's hurt, as what we know as referees. A lot of people should know that is. The X mark, which we make if you're two hands, it's known for if someone's injured and you need falling attention immediately.
Never a fun day at the office when you have to do that, is it?
No, it's not. But, you know, exactly what was great about it, though, was me being a rookie referee, and I was stepping in the ring with two of the greatest athletes in this business right now. It was definitely experienced. Well, sir, Jack was telling me that you followed that situation great, and I'm very thankful to have you as a referee, and I know a lot of referees would not carry that kind of situation like the way you did, and he thanked me for that a lot more after that, and then Rob also did the same thing. It was a great feeling.
Hopefully, you will avoid someone being knocked completely out during the course of a match, because from personal experience, that is not a great way to spend a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon. It really isn't.
No, for sure. I mean, I've been in matches where I've seen some people, they hurt their hands. I've been in a match once where this guy broke his finger, but he was saying, he told me, he's like, come over here. And I actually straightened this guy's finger, and I popped it straight back into place as his finger was broke during the middle of a match. So if that says anything, it was funny. And just being a referee is not the simplest job in the world. I've taken classes before just to know about the human body, about to know about parts of the body and how they function. So it's not just easy being a referee and stepping in the ring and knowing where to be at the right spot at the right time, knowing how the match is going to go, knowing the angles that you're working at. You have to learn a lot more. You have to catch on quick, but definitely good to take a class or so for it.
Definitely. Also very good to know signs of concussions as well as knowing when someone should be checked non-verbally just to make sure they're all right or not. A lot of referees do not know how to do that.
Yeah, sure thing, Jason.
Yeah. We talked to all of the rookies yesterday about this. I want to get your personal experience from this. It was kind of a mixed bag yesterday. Going through your school, the School of Morton, were you taught locker room etiquette as far as being in the school ahead of time before you were booked onto shows, or was that something that you ended up learning as you went along, as you got more bookings?
As you're saying, like showing respect in the locker rooms, is that what you're trying to say?
Right, just the traditional locker room etiquette when you're at a show interacting with the other boys.
Yes, we did show that some, and then we expect the guys kind of to show respect there also. We show people that to treat people how you expect to be treated. If you treat us like a good fellow, well, we're going to treat you back. But if not so kind, well, we're going to get you back that way. And I think that's just how the way it goes for everything. Is you show respect to your others, show respect to your neighbor. So we have done that a lot, and I've seen people that came in there and acting all big-headed, And then I've seen some guys in the locker room that these boys walk in, act like they know it all, and some guy just went up to and then smacked the living crap out of them. So just for being too big-headed, and I think that's something that's really cool about that is that know where your ground is, know where you stand in this business, and know how you're ranked. And I really expect that for people that some of the biggest names in the world that come in the locker room with these little independent young boys like me that are just trying to make a break in the business as much, and they're shaking your hand, showing you respect, and showing you things that you can work on and watch from your match and giving you tips and pointers.
I'm sure being third generation is a little bit easier for you to grasp that type of thing than someone that is coming into this without any previous ties and not having anyone in the business that they came up learning from just in general. Do you think that the guys that go through the school that don't have any ties to anyone in the industry to start out have a little bit harder time grasping the etiquette part of it, or do you think that the School of Morton teaches them enough that they know in advance so when they do start getting bookings, they aren't going to make a lot of mistakes that wrestlers who are not necessarily taught locker room etiquette at their school and have to figure it out on their own are going to have?
Well, that's a really good point you have there. Our school, we show a lot of people how to show respect and how to know what you're doing. But it is kind of hard breaking into the business and not having anyone, but a couple independent scene people that they start to make friends with, but you don't know. I mean, some people you can be the best of friends with, and some people just stab you right in the back. And that's kind of how this business runs. And I know it's kind of a bad thing to say, and I'd love to say grateful things about this business because it's an amazing experience and it's an amazing thing to do, but it's a backstabbing thing. One second you can be friends with the other, and the next thing he's moving up in this business, and you're still on the ground at a fair show. So, I don't really know how exactly to answer that. Our school, we show much respect, and we show them how to get in touch with people, but we expect from you to put in as much as you want this. If you don't want the business as much, well, we're not going to give you as much. But if you come in there every day and you train like you want this and you train like you want to make it somewhere in this business and get a break, then that's the place to go. We give a lot of people tips and pointers, and we give names out to promoters as we're traveling and say this and this would make really good in your card and maybe bring so-and-so in for attention. And to draw you more crowds. Advertising is definitely the key to this business. If no one knew about your show, then who would come, honestly? So that's a big thing about it. And that's what we try to get out to a lot of promoters out there, is a lot of people don't understand. It's like, why am I not drawing anyone to this show? And it's because you're not advertising. That's the key. I try to, when I go to the town with my father, I try to stop at a store in about the 10-mile radius or so of the show, and I look for a poster. I want to look for a poster or some sort of advertisement where I can see what's about the shows happening tonight. And that's definitely a way to get your name out there, is just joining these pages on Facebook and like independent promotions and telling these promoters that you want to come work for them and make their show better or make something great to their show, make a good advantage to their show.
That's a concept years ahead of a rookie status, I think. Not a lot of people that have been around for years and years really grasp that. We were talking also yesterday with everyone, and we had a lot of mixed answers on this as well. Have you been able to travel quite a bit so far, get into a few different states, and wrestle in several different promotions so far? I know you've wrestled for quite a few bigger ones, but have you been able to get to a lot of different states and different areas and wrestle in front of different types of crowds?
Well, I have a few times, for sure, but I really want to start getting focused on wrestling in the up northern area. And I do want to do this because you have what you call a smart marks nowadays. You have a lot more of those than what my dad would say back in the older days. So I want to start to get noticed with that crowd up there and start to understand their light base and what they like in the ring and what they don't like in the ring. Or the reactions. And I know in this business that you can't make everyone happy. And that's just how it is. I mean, if you want to be your character and you want to do you, well, you got to do you, for sure. You can't make everyone happy. And I started to experience that more down here in the South and wrestling in front of these crowds and knowing that it's kind of a simple story down here. I mean, it's great to have those high spot matches in there and show some of those great moves because that's what gets the crowd interested. But these fans still knew where they came from. They still like their older wrestlers. They still like the older moves, the older concepts. You know, I've seen a lot of people ask about, like, your wrestling gear. Like, does it have to be fancy? Does it have to be fly? Honestly, I think your wrestling gear should represent you in some way or state or form or fashion. I feel like as wrestling gear, you should have something that points you out in the wrestling ring, your move style. I've seen people that dresses up like a total diva and go out there and have one of the roughest hardcore matches ever, which I just totally don't understand. But back to the point I was saying is, I don't know how to put it out there. It's definitely a thing that you need to work on and get your name out there somehow. But I would love to wrestle up in the north because just to know how the crowd is and how they react and wrestle some of the names up there.
You, of course, still being a rookie, but having grown up in the business, being third generation, you might have a different view than a lot of people. When you're looking at your ultimate goals in professional wrestling, do you have something that is set that you want to accomplish in, say, 5 years' time, 10 years' time, 20 years' time in the wrestling business?
Yes. Something I would love to do is go over to Japan. Definitely go over to Japan just to watch and understand their wrestling crowds and maybe one day be their world champion over there. And I know that's a lot of hard work and dedication, but fully for the test. I never say no to anything unless it's something else, but I'll always want to give 110% at what I'm doing. And I've learned that from people all over, from just some of the WWE superstars. I've talked to them about how hard was your effort to get into WWE and what all did you have to do, and they said it wasn't the easiest thing. I mean, they had to bust their tail every single day. And then the writers would come up with some idea, and they would bite on it. They would bite on it, and they would go for it, and they would tell you exactly what you had to do and what they wanted you to do, and you would go for the effort. And I love that, and I respect that very, very much also, because not everyone's going to get what they want. And that's one thing that I want to work on too, is if they were to offer me an idea of some sort, I'd probably bite on it. I don't know. But I'm definitely for the test, for sure. I'm going to WWE or New Japan or Ring of Honor and just understanding how their form works and being a top superstar up there.
Here's a quiz for you. When you get to Japan, how long will it take you before you have your Riviera Steakhouse jacket?
Oh, my. I don't know. Honestly, don't know. That's something that I've always dreamed of, is having a Red Era Steakhouse jacket. My dad had a few of them, and I want to have one for sure. I want to show it off proud and wear it every day. Sometimes when it's 100 degrees outside, I don't care. I want to wear it. I want to show people what I've accomplished, and that's something I look forward to getting. So if I get a shot over to Japan, I will bust my tail off, and I will work with that crowd, and I want to see how they like me and see if people would buy it on and catch it.
Now, a lot of people in the wrestling business today that are at your level of experience usually don't have like goals of Japan. They usually will like say they would like to go over there if they can make it, but it's not usually a set goal. Was there something about Japan that you thought was a more achievable 5 to 10 year goal for you, or was it just something that you liked the Japanese wrestling and thought you would be able to fit in over there better? Was there like a specific thing about Japan?
I've seen some people over there, and what my dad was telling me, I've seen some people go over there and be the worst worker they could think of. And honestly, they would come back and be the lightest person, one of the most cheap persons in the wrestling ring from learning how they work. I know Japan wrestling is a very stiff, and it's a very strong style wrestling. And it's not even necessarily, I wouldn't say wrestling anymore. It's just the performance over there. But you bust your butt every time to get where you are. And I've liked seeing some of these people like Kenny Omega and one of our good friends, Chase Owens, and Ricochet and them all go over there, and Evan Bourne go over there and make a name for themselves more than what they were before, and get their name out there. And that's something I'd love to do. I think my experience and my work set and my great moveset, I think, or my moveset that I'm starting to become, and how my character development is would go great over there, and I think people would catch on to it really quick.
It's definitely a hard place to get established for someone that is not Japanese. It takes a lot of hard work, but you seem to be ahead of the game, so hopefully that will be something you can accomplish. Well, we have a few minutes left in the show. I want to give you ample time to plug and promote, so if there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you'd like, just upcoming shows, social medias, merchandise, anything at all, floor is all yours.
Yeah, sure thing, guys. If you ever have any questions for me or anything, you can go on Facebook and add me under Kerry Morton. You'll see a couple pictures of me as a wrestling or something what's happening with my future now. Also, you guys can check me out with doing theater. Hopefully doing a couple things with professional paid theater, so that's something that you guys should definitely get into to help you with your character and establish base in wrestling to understand a lot of crowds. So I'm definitely in theater. I'm going to be doing an uprising performance of High School Musical. It's going to be in Kingsport, Tennessee. It's going to be a professional theater called Kingsport Theater Guild, and it's going to be I'm playing a character of Chad Danforth. He's the main character, so you guys should totally check that out. And if you have any other questions, I'm on Twitter under KerryMorton20. And if you're looking to get into the wrestling business, come down to the School of Morton in Chucky, Tennessee. It's one of the best wrestling schools out there, I would say. It helps you we help with everything from skill set to being a referee to being a wrestler. We have wrestling shows monthly, and we'd love for you guys to come down there and give it a shot and see what you guys have.
All right. Well, Kerry Morton, it was an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. Best of luck to you on your career. I think you are ahead of the game for someone with your experience level, and I definitely look forward to not only having you back on this show at some point, but watching your career as it unfolds.
So thank you much, Jason. I loved being on your podcast, and I hope this place can hopefully get my name started, and I hope my fan base would start following me. So thank you, guys.
All right. Fans, if you get the chance, get out there, show Kerry Morton some support. Great, great young talent. I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him, so definitely get out there, support him. School of Morton, a very, very reputable place to train, so if you're looking to get into the wrestling business, definitely give them some consideration. I think you'll be happy with the School of Morton's curriculum, so get out there, support, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.